Welcome to Disney A, the Canadian-themed Disney travel podcast. We're your hosts. I'm Brandon.
And I'm Krista.
That was from memory, and so I didn't screw it up this time.
Woot!
High five!
That was your forehead.
Yeah.
You missed my hand.
No, I didn't aim for your hand. Too.
What are we talking about this week, Brandon?
Paris.
Oui.
The land of the French.
Oui. What? That sounded like an evil laugh. Your French accent is impeccable, I mean.
Oui. qu'est-ce que le c'est?
I didn't even have that much French.
Bibliothèque.
Oh, that means library.
It does, yes.
Do you want to know how I know? Because biblioteca is Spanish for library.
There is a lot of similarities between Spanish and French, which really messes me up when I've been drinking in a Spanish country.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, so like we said last episode, this is going to be a new occasional series, kind of like how we do Disneyland Lands. We're not going to stop. We are moving over to DCA
Disney
soon.
Worlds.
Yeah, we're going to be talking about Disney parks. And we're going to start with Disneyland Paris in honor of my sister and her soon-to-be husband, because they are going to Disneyland Paris as part of their honeymoon, which is very soon.
And we're not jealous at all.
No, it's fine.
This is fine.
We're not jealous. You can tell we're not jealous by the fact that we're doing an entire episode this week about Disneyland Paris.
It's fine.
It's totally fine. She did say she'd think about us occasionally.
Oh,
wow. Okay, so before we get to that, Brandon, do you have a nerd thing since the last episode, which we recorded maybe like half an hour ago?
You know what? I do.
Okay.
This is coming out in like a while from now, but I have continued to watch the Hockeys.
Oh, you have.
And there's been four overtime games out of four
so far,
in the conference finals, and I think that's hilarious.
Yeah, that's true. One went to almost five overtimes.
So when my team, the horrifically cursed Leafs, is out of it, I always cheer for chaos, and chaos is winning.
So really, your second favorite thing to cheer for is winning.
Go chaos!
That's true. I'll come in the room, I'm like, who are you cheering for? Chaos. My favorite, though, was when it went to almost five overtimes.
Almost five. You were sound asleep.
I sure was.
And
I made it through the beginning of... No, I made it through three, and then I kind of fell asleep, and you woke me up when they were into the fourth.
By accident, just by laughing
or something. And then I fell back asleep again.
I thought we were getting five. They scored with, like, 12 seconds left in the fourth overtime. That's a long game.
Yeah. You said there were pictures of... or video clips of people like sleeping in the stands.
Well, half the fans left.
Yeah.
Because it was like a weekday.
And it was like 2
a.m. And it was an Eastern Conference game, so it was like 2 a.m. local time. And yeah, there was literally people sleeping in the stands.
And it was so funny when the second game went to overtime, the announcers were like,
mercy. But they scored within 2 minutes,
yeah,
so
fine.
It was fine.
Okay, so that's a good nerd thing.
Yeah.
My nerd thing is my sister's stagette that I've been planning. That is where I currently am. We're recording this in advance, so we're going to kind of... Do we even have news? We're just gonna
no, there's
the
no news.
So we're going to skip the news.
No news.
But my nerd thing is... can I just explain what I've planned for the stagette? I don't know if it's all going to work.
Please explain it. Because there's no news, so do it.
Okay. We are spending the weekend at a ghost town. Don't.
Ooh, ghosts.
Ooh, not that kind of ghost. We're going to be camping. We are going to spend part of the day on the Saturday. We are going bowling, and we have, like, lunch reservations and breakfast plans and transportation. We're going to be, like, hanging out in a limo bus. But the coolest thing that I think is we are renting the local theater there. It's like a small town movie theater. And we are going to be playing a Mario Kart tournament, DUI Mario Kart tournament, on the theater screen.
Okay, explain DUI Mario Kart.
So you know how the Mario Kart is. So first of all, we're going to have at this point like 10, 11-ish girls-ish. Heavy on the ish. And we're going to have a couple Switches. So people can also just like do whatever during that time too.
The video game console, yeah.
Yes. And we're going to connect them up. And so we're going to play Mario Kart. But you know how each one is three races, right? Each track is three races. So the rule is you have to have a drink and you have to finish your drink by the end of the three races, but you have to pull over every time.
You can't drink and drive.
Because you can't drink
and
drive.
That's why it's DUI Mario Kart.
Exactly. So you have to pull over and drink. So the challenges. There's some strategery going. Do you pull over and drink? Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not sure how we're going to schedule this because there are several of the attendees are not drinking. So I'm not sure what that.
You have to give them a cup of water or something.
Yeah, and they still have to pull over or something like that. I think that we'll do something like that. But anyway, that is the plan, and then whoever the winner is of that one will go on to the next round. Fun, right? I even have like a little trophy.
You do have a trophy. Mm-hmm. I've held it up.
Yeah, in the middle of.
Our I'm the winner.
So anyway, I'm really excited about that, and then. In the nighttime, it's like the little town does this big event where they do like a pizza night and some like dancing.
Ooh, pizza.
And we're going to cowgirl it up. I'm kind of excited about the mini cowboy hats you found for us all.
Yeehaw.
They're like little kid cowboy hats that we're all going to wear, except the bride. So anyway, that's the plan, and I hope it works because I've never planned anything like this before.
I'm sure it'll be fine.
But anyway, I'm excited because I like and we have the nerdy twist to it, which I enjoy greatly.
Yeah, I'm jealous.
So anyway,
yeehaw!
That's what I'm currently doing. So that is my nerd thing. Brandon, what are you drinking?
Oh, well, I'm drinking another Vizzy.
Me too.
Mine is a raspberry tangerine Vizzy.
Ooh, nice.
You have another blackberry or whatever.
Black cherry and lime. I like it a lot.
Yes, black cherry. That's what it is.
Okay, anything to add before we head to the main topic?
No, I'm going to go to Paris. The city of love.
Oui. At the park. I don't know why I sound so weird when I did oui.
Oui. All the way home.
No, that's a piggy. Yeah. We talked about piggy last episode.
Three Little Pigs.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Disneyland Paris.
Disney, okay. I see what you're saying. All right, I see what you're doing. Okay.
Yeah. I don't know.
All right, so I actually listened to YouTube videos and did some research on Disneyland Paris.
Well, good for you, because I didn't.
All right. Big recommendation, they recommend at least 2 days now. They say you used to be able to do this in one, now we recommend two.
Sounds fair.
Also, highly recommended to people traveling from North America. Check the school holidays for a bunch of the European countries, not just Paris. Because of Europe is different sizes than the United States.
Here's the thing about Europe. They literally have a train from England to France.
Yes.
And all the other countries are very... They have lots of trains. They have lots of trains. And it's not,
I actually talk about a train here, too.
It's very, very small.
Exactly. That's a tip that I guess a lot of people... A lot of these... I'm going to kind of do... This is... Just to be clear, this is a crash course in Disneyland Paris, okay? This is like your introduction.
Well, I hope you don't crash.
No. Paris almost did. Disneyland Paris almost did.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
There is a Disneyland Paris app. Definitely download it in advance. Same thing. There's a Disney World one and Disneyland one. Of course, there's a Disneyland Paris one.
Apps are important these days.
Yep. Yeah. Ride closures, show schedules. The restaurants are extremely popular there. Many are very small. Book reservations early. Keep checking. Make a rough plan for the day, specifically with your priorities. Okay, it's not actually in Disneyland Paris. Disneyland Paris is not actually in Paris.
No, it's outside of
the city. It's about 32 kilometers outside. You can do a 45-minute to an hour train from the Paris Center. There are two theme parks, resort hotels, Disney nature resorts, shopping, dining, and entertainment complex, and a golf course.
Oh.
Yeah, I found that interesting.
Does your sister's future husband know that there's a golf course?
I don't know. I told her to listen to this. So
he might want to know that there's a golf course.
I will text him. So the two theme parks, there's Disneyland Park and Walt Disney Studios Park. Disney Village is the entertainment district containing a variety of restaurants, entertainment venues, and shops. And, oh my, French word, Val d'Europe.
Val d'Europe.
Okay, I just want to explain something right off the bat here. Everyone thinks, lots of people think, that Canadians are all bilingual. That is not true. We are a bilingual country in honor of our shared French and English history. I'm just going to put on my teacher hat here for a minute. We have mostly English
speaking. You're not wearing a hat.
It's by province. So most of the provinces are English provinces. Quebec is a French province, and then
they're not bilingual at all. They don't care for the Anglophones
There's different rules about like the size of languages and things like that. And then there's one province that is officially bilingual.
New Brunswick.
Which is New Brunswick.
Yes.
Nailed
it.
And the closer you are to Quebec, the more prominent the French language is. Out here, specifically in Alberta, and at Saskatchewan to a lesser extent, but a little bit as well, there's almost no French whatsoever. That's actually a big thing.
It's a political thing, and
there's lots of drama
to do with that. Me growing up in British Columbia, I actually took a fair amount of French through school, but like was really bad at it.
We didn't have French in school. I had one semester,
and so I remember very bad French, yeah. I will say bad French.
All right, I had one semester of optional grade seven of French that was an option. It was like a half hour, 45 minutes every other day. So then it was cut from the school. So that kind of tells you where the priority is on us learning French in Alberta. So no, I do not know French. So I have none and you have bad. So
very bad.
That is what we're working with here. But guess what? When we get to the Shanghai, Tokyo section, it's going to be even worse. So just, we apologize. We're trying. I'm really sorry if I offend anyone. Okay. So anyway,
Val d'Europe, a
shopping center is a variety of outlet shops and large department stores. There's a lot of stuff going on right now still for the 30th anniversary, which was technically in 2022, but we know they celebrate for like
a full year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It is the only Disney resort outside of the USA that is completely owned by the Walt Disney Company.
Right. Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes perfect sense, actually, because I'll just do a little bit of business talk. In Tokyo, Disney was approached by a Japanese company to actually do this. And the way China works is they are not allowed to have like foreign companies run businesses in a full way. It's kind of a messed up country, but whatever. Just the way that their policies, their nationalistic policies are kind of weird that way.
Okay. So it makes sense that the other ones don't. This one does.
Yeah.
And this one didn't originally. But anyway, there are, I'm going to get a little into the history in a little bit here, though. So also that. There are 7 hotels. The Santa Fe, the Hotel Cheyenne, the Sequoia Lodge, Newport Bay Club, Hotel New York, the Art of Marvel, the Disneyland Hotel, and the Davy Crockett Ranch. None of those sound particularly French. I just want to say that.
The Marvel Hotel looks really awesome.
It actually really does. This was all over Instagram and stuff like that a little bit ago. So Euro Disney, which is how it originally opened, it aimed for permanent employees, which is unusual for a Disney park at that point. Like, while they're not opposed to employees, they relied heavily on, like, the college program and things like that in the States.
Okay.
So in this one, they were like, no, we want permanent employees. There was an estimated requirement of 12,000 for the theme park itself, as opposed to seasonal and temporary part-time employees. They tried to hire employees fluent in 2 languages. They said they want all their employees to be fluent in French and also one other language. Most of them were English, of course. But this was interesting because basically what they wanted was they didn't want, like, just a bunch of people from, like, Disney World coming and working there. They didn't want, like, a lot of Americans coming and working there. Now, I'm talking, like, front-of-line cast employees, right? This was part of the thing because Euro Disney, is how it opened, was not met with great support in France. And so they were like, but look, we want to hire you guys, not us.
Yeah, here's the thing. France is a country that doesn't like foreign cultures at all. They're very proud of their culture in France, and they have a long history and like a very good culture. But so I can understand that. But yeah, they're very against any like Americanization, for example. So
right.
Disney's would be like a dirty word to them, basically.
Oh, yes, definitely. So here's our brief history in a nutshell. There's actually some really interesting stuff on this. We looked at the Imagineering story on Disney Plus. They're taking a lot of stuff off Disney Plus right now, by the way, but that one is staying on, it looks like.
Yeah, we could have talked about that in the news. Mm-hmm. Boy, howdy.
So on April 12th, 1992, Euro Disney Resort and its theme park, Euro Disneyland, officially opened. There was record low attendance, employee resignation, and bad press throughout its early history. Michael Eisner, who was CEO at the time of Disney, As Americans, the word Euro is believed to be glamorous or exciting. For Europeans, it turned out to be a term they associated with business, currency, and commerce. So he opted to rename the park Disneyland Paris as a way of identifying it with one of the most romantic and exciting cities in the world. Now it receives 12 million visitors a year, which means it is technically the most visited family place in Europe. There's all these different categories for tourist places in Europe, right?
Sure, yeah. Though
in 2018,
that sounds like a marketing distinction
it
to
does.
Me.
In 2018, it was announced there would be a multi-year expansion project, which is scheduled to be finished in 2024 because of the Summer Olympics.
Oh, is Paris getting the Summer
Olympics?
I guess Olympics?
So.
You know what? I didn't even know that.
So anyway, this is that. Basically, it was considered a failure, but they kept with it, and now it's like regaining some ground.
It's doing okay now. Mm-hmm. It's definitely not the most visited park, no. But it's also not like losing money or anything.
It used
like
to
that.
Be.
Yeah, it used to be, but yeah. Definitely, Paris Summer Olympics in July 26, 2024.
Sweet,
it's coming right up.
I actually have some tips for people visiting Disneyland Paris. Now, this is all stuff I gathered from all the YouTubes and stuff like that I listened to while I was working.
Cool, because I know nothing about
it. All right. So, first of all, the Disneyland Paris Pride Party is the official LGBTQ+ Pride celebration held annually at Disneyland Paris. It was originally called the Magical Pride Party, but it is the first Disney-sponsored gay day at a Disney park. Others had existed before in the U.S. parks.
Unofficial.
But they were
unofficial. Yeah.
This was the first officially sponsored by a Disney company.
Until they had one in Florida coming up.
Yeah, but that's why I said first.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. The arcade on the left when you first walk into Disneyland, it is the water fountain that always seems to work when others do not. There's my tip for you. Yeah, apparently there's an issue with having working water fountains all the time for bottle filling.
Well, here's the thing about France.
They would rather you drink wine.
Yes.
If they're anything like Italy, which they're always likened to.
Oh, no. Don't get those confused. Because
no. But just
they have a very big wine rivalry. If you ask a French person about their wine, it'll be like the Bordeaux and the mm-hmm, Champagnes mm-hmm. and things like that. And you ask an Italian about wine, well, French wine is garbage. So who knows?
But just that idea of really wanting people to appreciate their wine. Okay. According to the Disneyland Paris website, the theme park's top 5 attractions in Disneyland Park itself are It's a Small World, Star Wars Hyperspace Mountain, formerly known as Space Mountain Mission 2.
Wow, okay. It's permanently Hyperspace Mountain
yes,
there?
Yes, but it's not the same Hyperspace Mountain as Star Wars.
Oh.
It's different.
Okay.
Yep.
Oh, because their Space Mountain used to be Jules Verne
yes.
themed.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to talk about the lands themselves here in just a
okay.
second. Okay. Big Thunder Mountain, Pirates of the Caribbean, and Buzz Lightyear's Laser Blast, which we do not have in Disney at all.
Is it better than
Oh,
Astro
it's totally
Blasters?
Different.
Okay.
Totally different ride.
Okay.
Sleeping Beauty Castle, Le Château de la Belle au Bois Dormant?
Oui.
Is a replica of the fairy tale castle as seen in Disney's 1959 at Sleeping Beauty, not a replica of the Disneyland. No. It's Sleeping Beauty.
Yeah.
Disney World is Cinderella.
Right.
So this one they wanted to do a Sleeping Beauty castle, but they did it based on the film.
It might
be the most beautiful castle.
It may be the best castle in any Disney park ever.
It's beautiful.
They went for it.
But they said they had to. Okay, so in order to make things more distinct and not be a mere copy of the original, modifications were made to the park's concepts and designs. You also have to remember, this was going up in a place where people saw castles like on their drive to work.
Yeah.
So it had to be very distinct. Just having a castle wasn't enough.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. It's almost like Gothic architecture, but like fairy tale. Anyway, it's beautiful.
It is Gothic architecture, but it's like built into a hill, so there's like some elevation.
It is. There's debate between which one, but that's always one of the two mentioned for the most beautiful Disney park castle.
From the pictures I've seen, that's my vote.
That is my vote as well. Among the changes, the other changes made was the change of Tomorrowland to Discoveryland. It gives the area a retro-futuristic theme. For the love of God, please embrace this.
Yes! This is what Tomorrowland should be. It should be retro-future.
Yeah.
Perfect.
I love it. It's
wonderful. Easy.
Other altered elements include the Haunted Mansion, which was redesigned as Phantom Manor, and a retro, more intense version of Space Mountain called Hyperspace Mountain. Retro, more intense.
I'm always here for more intense rides.
Basically, the park's location brought forth its own challenges. Sleeping Beauty Castle is said by its designers to have been necessarily re-evaluated for a continent in which authentic castles stand. Modifications to the park were made to protect against changes in weather in the Parisian climate. This is the only place where, like, it snows. Like, they have to stand for four distinct seasons.
That is true, because mm-hmm. Hong Kong and Shanghai would not
at least not often enough to
have snow.
Nope.
Florida and California, definitely, obviously, yeah. That's not a thing. They got hurricanes in Florida, but that's mm-hmm. very good point. I you know what? I never thought of that.
So covered walkways are referred to as arcades. They are added, and Michael Eisner ordered the installation of 35 fireplaces in hotels and restaurants.
I will say that the fireplace in the Grand California Hotel is fantastic. So Disney, I'm obviously have never been to Disneyland Paris, but I'm sure their fireplaces are lovely.
Yep. Disneyland Park is divided into 5 themed lands, which house a total of 49 attractions. So let's start Disneyland, then we'll go over to Disney, Walt Disney Studios after. Designed like a wheel with the hub on Central Plaza, which is before the Sleeping Beauty Castle, and pathways coming out like spokes from that hub. This is kind of what the typical Disneyland does.
Typical of a Disney
park design. But Disneyland has changed so much since its original hub that it doesn't really look like that anymore, but this was designed that way, so...
The traditional, like, Disneyland, Magic Kingdom,
mm-hmm.
Tokyo Disneyland, it's a hub with spokes. So, yeah, that makes sense, yeah.
Disneyland Railroad runs along the perimeter of the park and stops in Main Street, USA. Main Street, USA.
Oh, I'm sure the French love that.
Frontierland, Fantasyland, and Discoveryland. On Main Street, USA, there's a Liberty Arcade, which is the covered walkway, and Discovery Arcade, another covered walkway. There's horse-drawn streetcars, Main Street vehicles, and the Disneyland Railroad. In Frontierland, there's something called Legends of the Wild West. I looked this up, and it looks like a walkthrough. Big Thunder Mountain, Phantom Manor is in Frontierland. The Thunder Mesa Riverboat Landing. So this is kind of what we would do like the Mark Twain.
Right.
Right. The Rustler Roundup Shooting Gallery. We have
Yeehaw!
Shooting, yep. Frontierland Playground and the Disneyland Railroad.
Okay, do we want to talk about the Big Thunder?
Yes.
Right now or yeah.
Okay. Let's
Yeah, no. Let's do it now.
Let's do it now.
So, you were talking about the river cruise or whatever.
Yeah.
There's a reason that they instead of having Tom Sawyer's Island, Big Thunder, the ride it's on an island, and you board it on the mainland, and it goes under the rivers of America or whatever the French version is, and it's all on an island, and that's probably obviously the most cool Big Thunder that you'll ever see.
So we talked about this, we kind of gave a shout out last week when we said this was going to be our topic, but if you go back, we have a previous episode where we had a guest. We had El Mule. Yes, El Mule, and we talked about
how awesome the Big Thunder was.
We talked about their experience going to Disneyland Paris. This is actually episode 46. It is called Mickey Rain Boots and Two Big Thunder Mountains. Okay, but he talks in great detail about what going on Big Thunder Mountain
is like,
and how he did believe that was his favorite thing about Disneyland Paris.
It's pretty cool, and it's something different that you don't get in any other park.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it makes the ride better. But yeah. I love Big Thunder.
That'd be awesome. Oh, man. Now I just want to we're not jealous. It's fine.
Yeah, we're not jealous.
It's fine. It's fine. Okay. Are you ready for my rundown of Adventureland? We have Aladdin's Enchanted Passage, Adventure Isle, The Swiss Family Treehouse, Pirates Beach, Pirates of the Caribbean, Pirate Galleon, and Indiana Jones and the Temple of Peril. So now this is different than the Indiana Jones we have, I don't know if it's the exact same system. I think it's like a.
Is it more reliable?
Well, that is more the question. Yeah. In Fantasyland,
is there snakes?
Why'd it have to be snakes?
Speaking of, we're going to be watching our Indiana Jones movie very soon. Yes.
I'm excited. I don't even care. I'm excited. Are you going to wear your hat? The first time I went to Disneyland without you, after we knew, I brought you a hat.
You did. I'm not going to wear it.
I'll wear your hat.
I'm going to wear your hat. No.
Yes, I am.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
No, you're not.
It's going to happen. Fantasyland, we have the Sleeping Beauty Castle, the Dragon's Lair, Lancelot's Carousel. Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, Pinocchio's Daring Journey, Dumbo the Flying Elephant, Peter Pan's Flight, Alice's Curious Labyrinth.
Very curious.
Very. Curiouser and curiouser. The Mad Hatter's Teacups, It's a Small World, Storybook Land, Canal Boats, woo! Casey Jr. Circus Train, Meet Mickey Mouse is where you can do that here, The Princess Pavilion, and of course the Railroad. And then in Discovery Land, Buzz Lightyear Laser Blast, the Orbitron, this is like Astro Blasters.
Mm-hmm.
No, I lied. This is like Astro Orbiter.
Astro Orbiter, yeah.
Yeah. Autopia, The Mysteries of the Nautilus. Hyperspace Mountain Star to Hyperspace Mountain.
Oh, they still have the Nautilus thing. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So this goes back to when Discovery Land was themed
awesomely
purely for Jules Verne, Arthur C. Clarke style sci-fi, right?
Super cool.
Right.
Kind of steampunky.
Yes, it has morphed into a little bit of steampunk-ishness, that whole
retro-futuristic was the design element here.
Yeah.
But yeah. The Star Tours, The Adventures Continue is also here. Mickey's PhilharMagic is here, by the way.
Oh, interesting.
In Discovery Land. And then, of course, the Discovery Land Railroad Station. The current shows and parades. This is like, obviously, check your thing. This is just what I could find. Disney Stars on Parade. Mickey's Goodnight Kiss. This is their nighttime show. I think it's for like a fireworks kind of thing.
I'm sorry. I do not want a good night kiss from Mickey. No. Get out of here, mouse.
So the Walt Disney Studios Park, the top attractions in terms of wait times, Spider-Man Web Adventure, this is the same as the DCA park.
It's exactly the same ride?
As far as I could see, if it's not the same, it's pretty darn close.
Hmm.
There's Crush's Coaster.
What?
RC, okay, so Crush's Coaster is like a family roller coaster.
Like a Gadget's Go coaster.
Kind of like that. It's like it themed after Crush from like Finding Nemo.
Yeah, you're riding the slipstream, the jet stream or whatever. Yeah. That makes sense from a theming standpoint. Probably not very good ride.
It's like I don't know, it looks fine. It looks like a family coaster. I'd probably like it. RC Racer. This is a Toy Story themed one.
Okay, like, so the RC car from Toy Story
You're
1.
You're on one. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's fun.
I'm not sure how thrilling it is,
no.
But I honestly don't know because I've never seen this.
You don't get launched with a rocket, like a firework at the end?
Not launched with a rocket. And then there's the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror.
Yes! Okay, I am very glad that Twilight Zone Tower of Terror exists in at least two parks.
We have two.
So
that helps.
It helps. I really like the Guardians of the Galaxy in California.
You say
California.
It's your favorite ride in Disneyland Park.
It literally is, but if they ever closed any of the other Tower of Terrors, I'd be sad.
That's fair. We need to get our butts in gear and get to one of
and
these.
And it's interesting because they had a hard time with the Tower of Terror in Paris because no one knew what Twilight Zone was in France, so
that makes sense.
But the storyline, it doesn't matter if you know what Tower of Terror is because it's just a ghost story.
Yeah.
And so whatever. Yeah. Who cares?
I knew what it was. I had never seen one before. I rode the DCA one before it changed. Okay, Other notables with very, like, this is by wait time, okay? Other notables with varying wait times. Avengers Assemble, Flight Force. I don't understand what it is. Cars Race Rally.
Is that another?
Looks a little like a smaller version.
But is it the same ride system?
I don't know. Like, you are racing against another car.
I'm going to say it's the same ride system. Okay. I'm going to say cars, it confidently. Oh, there's no another
Cars. Cars Road Trip.
That's probably a dark ride.
Like, more like a dark ride. There's also Flying Carpets over Agrabah. This is like a Dumbo system.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, okay. Mm-hmm.
Ratatouille! The Adventure. Yes. This is where Ratatouille opened, of course. Mm-hmm.
The first Ratatouille. There's also one in Epcot now.
Slinky Dog Zigzag Spin. This is another family coaster.
That's Gadget. That's Go-Go. Oh, no, it spins?
I think.
I was pretty sure Slinky Dog.
The one in Disney World doesn't spin.
Disney World is identical, basically, to Gadget's
Go-Go. And the Toy Soldiers Parachute Drop. This is exactly what it sounds like. It's like a jellyfish kind of thing.
It's similar to the Inside Out ride or whatever.
So I also have some food and dining recommendations. Like I said, this is Crash Course. First, quick service lines get very long. Food is a big deal in Paris, people, okay?
Why? What happened?
Around lunch from 12 to 2 and dinner 6 to 8. Second, you are expected to order a combo, which is called a menu. But a la carte is usually available. To order a la carte, just say no menu or a la carte, whatever item it is. Otherwise, they're like, you're supposed to order more. Or
menu, no.
Nice.
Yeah, that's all I got.
So here's the recommendations. Waltz is an American restaurant, which is the premier restaurant at Disneyland Paris. The review there's a review anyway, and it says that Waltz food is even better than Club 33. Reservations, highly recommended.
According to whom?
There was like some reviews.
Okay.
How many? Tom Bricker was the one that the review I found, which was reviewed by like other people, recommended that you follow all his.
I mean, fair enough. Food in Paris is going to be better than food in the States anyway, so I wouldn't be surprised if.
All right.
If they bring it up to the minimum level that you need to be.
Agrabah Cafe. The design inside is quite good. Apparently, it's similar to Epcot's Morocco Pavilion, which I've seen pictures of. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The food likely won't blow you away, but it's a different style of cuisine than you'll find in most of the resort. Again, reservations recommended. Captain Jack's. You're basically, this is kind of like Blue Bayou. You're right next to Pirates at Captain Jack's.
Is it Pirates of the Caribbean themed?
You are. It just says you're here for the fun of sitting right next to Pirates of the Caribbean. It is a ride-side restaurant.
But Captain Jack Sparrow.
Yep, Captain Jack's.
Okay.
Reservations recommended. And then the other one is a Bistro Chez Remy. This is probably the best restaurant. A lot of people were like, this is the place you have to go.
Well, I mean, Remy knows how to cook. Exactly. So it makes sense.
This one's at Walt Disney Studios Park. It is also one of the newest restaurants in Disneyland Paris. Has great design and theming. Of course, reservations.
That's good that they made the one based on the movie that was based on food actually good.
I know, right? Yeah. I think there's some quick service ones and stuff like that as well, but I'm glad they made, like, this is an actual restaurant. And honestly, if we were going and having one meal, I'd probably want to go to Chez Remy.
Yeah.
Because you're like, you're in France. This is what you do. Like, you have to.
It's cheesy, no pun intended. Because of rats. Cheese, yeah. But, like, yeah, for sure.
Okay, so I also have information here about the Premier Access. So when it was first announced, it said it would cost from €8 to €15. At Disneyland Park, Premier Access will be available on Big Thunder Mountain, Peter Pan's Flight, Buzz Lightyear Laser Blast, Star Tours The Adventure Continues, Star Wars Hyperspace Mountain. At Walt Disney Studios Park, it will be on the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror and Ratatouille The Adventure.
And here's the thing. Premier Pass is the very first iteration of individual Lightning Lane is what it was. And when we first heard this, my jaw dropped to the floor at the pricing scheme for it. And sure enough, that's what individual Lightning Lanes became.
Totally. Okay, so there's actually two different kinds. So there's Disney Premier Access Ultimate. And there's Disney Premier Access 1. Mm-hmm. Which do you want to hear about first? One or Ultimate?
One, because it's first. One.
Okay, one. So this is a single attraction allocated time slot. Use one time, one attraction.
Right.
Be allocated on the next available time slot to join the fast lane. Buy on the day in the Disney parks.
A la carte.
And buy via the app.
A la carte. This is a la carte. Lightning
lane. Are you ready for the next one?
Ultimate.
This is Ultimate.
Ultimate.
All eligible attractions. No allocated time slot. Use one time on each available attraction.
And you just show up.
Join the fast lane whenever you want. No time slots. Buy in advance or on the day. Buy the official app, website, holiday experts, selected partners, etc.
Okay, so here's the thing. Disneyland Paris is not as well attended as other parks.
Nope.
It's more well attended than it was, but you're not fighting crowds on a daily basis like you would be at Disneyland or Disney World. So this is the Genie Plus offering now, but you don't have to play the Genie Plus game with it anymore. You just go. You're like, I want to ride Ratatouille. I want to ride Big Thunder. And you walk up to the fast lane and you
Doesn't
hop
sound
on.
Cool?
That's interesting. How much does that cost?
I don't know, because it depends on the day.
How much does it cost on average?
Well, it said when it was first announced, it was between 8 and 15 euros.
Oh, so like a no-brainer is what you're saying.
I 100%
would. Okay.
But I kind of, when I saw that, it said that's what Premier Access would be. But then when I clicked on that, like on the website to find out more information, it divided into those two. So I'm like, is it 15 per ride?
I'm pretty sure. Like,
that must be per ride, right? What, the Ultimate must be different.
Yeah, the Ultimate has to.
Okay, he's going to research. Meanwhile, I want to give you in a nutshell, because I actually have a synopsis here of the attractions that you can get at Disneyland Paris, which are totally different than the attractions or new, or that you can't get in the USA parks. Mm-hmm. Okay? So
yeah,
we didn't...
No. Okay.
Oh, you found this first? Okay.
Ultimate Premier Access. Low season days are currently priced at 90 euros
That makes
person.
So much more sense.
Yeah. So this is much more similar to how Universal does their fast lane,
the final line,
express lane, whatever it is. High price, no games, no booking, anything. You just walk up and you get your ride on that.
Would you do it?
Well, we're not going to Disneyland Paris multiple times. I probably would.
I honestly would as well.
Because
you're there once.
Yeah.
For us.
So, yeah, 90 euros low season, mid-season's 120 euros, and then, like, super high season, 160 euros, which is...
When we'd be traveling.
Very expensive. But, so that's, like probably double your park ticket price, or even more, maybe.
Something to consider and price out.
Which is very similar to how Universal does it.
Mm-hmm.
And other parks like Six Flags and Knott's.
That's
the more common way to do a fast lane type of situation.
All right, are you ready for the in a nutshell?
Help, I'm in a nutshell.
Nice Austin Powers reference. Good job. As a resort, it is sort of a hybrid of Disneyland and Walt Disney World. It is small, having only two parks like Disneyland, but it is in a bubble with a decent number of hotels like Disney World. With limited exceptions, you can walk everywhere. Here's the ones that are only in Disneyland Paris. Avengers Assemble Flight Force is an Avenger theme coaster.
Oh.
Cars Road Trip. Hey, here we go. A reimagining of the old studio tram ride.
What?
Crush's Coaster is a Finding Nemo themed coaster, family coaster.
Mm-hmm.
Alice's Curious Labyrinth is a hedge maze. This is what they originally wanted to do in Disneyland. A hedge maze.
Right.
With a small castle and great views at the end, it is also featured without the castle in Shanghai Disney. Indiana Jones and the Temple of Peril. This is totally different, Brandon. It is a short roller coaster ride.
Oh.
Often with very little wait times.
Interesting. So it's like kind of a... So, here, okay, the Avengers Assembled, the Avengers, I'm just going back, the Avengers Assembled coaster, it's exactly the same as Rock and Roller Coaster in Florida.
Really?
But just rethemed to Avengers.
That's kind of cool.
Exact clone.
And that is not listed as your highest wait times in that park, by the way.
And Rockin' Roller Coaster is a very good ride.
That was one of your favorites, you said.
Yeah, very good. It's a very good ride. And I might... Don't get me wrong. The Aerosmith theming was actually really fun. It might be better as Avengers.
Now you're thinking about what would that look like, Avengers, right? All right. Cool. We should watch a ride through of this just for fun. Hey, that's fun. All right. So what did I leave off on? Indiana Jones, sorry.
Sorry, that was a short, I interrupted that's okay. you. I'm sorry.
That's a short roller coaster, usually with very little wait time. The castle at Disneyland Park.
Disneyland Paris Park.
Disneyland Park, Paris.
Mm-hmm.
Not only is considered one of the most beautiful Disney castles in the world.
It is, yeah.
It houses a dragon underneath.
Rawr.
Which is an audio animatronic.
Hopefully it doesn't catch fire.
Hopefully.
Because that's something that happens now.
It is considered one of the coolest animatronics in a Disney park in the world.
Except for the other one that burned.
And then Phantom Manor is the version of Haunted Mansion.
So
it's totally different.
If you hadn't told me that there was a clone of Rock and Roller Coasters themed to Avengers, Phantom Manor would have been my number one ride.
Like,
pick.
Want to ride there? Yeah. And now you're like, well, no.
No, I'm sorry.
I specifically said before, I'm going to hold on to it, because obviously I'm less of a coaster gal than you are a coaster guy. But I'm going with Phantom Manor as my must ride here. Because
It's a must ride, for sure.
So, because I said before, I want to ride all the different versions of Haunted Mansion.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're all so different, and I love seeing... Because they have to take into consideration history and culture and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I like seeing how that's represented in different places.
Yeah, for sure.
And also Haunted Mansion in Disneyland is one of my top favorite attractions. So.
But I'm going to counter that with Avengers Rock and Roller Coaster.
You can counter all you want. Brandon, I have a question.
Yes? I mean, we...
I have a question, but before I get to the question, I jumped ahead of myself. 18 reasons why Disneyland Paris is the ultimate Disney adult getaway. We're Disney adults.
We are Disney adults. Because you're near Paris, probably, is like one of them.
18. Roller coasters galore.
What? Okay. You have my interest piqued.
Okay. If you're an adult who seeks thrills and a more rough and tumble time at your theme parks, Disneyland Paris has you covered. Both Hyperspace Mountain and Indiana Jones and the Temple of Peril feature full inversions.
What? And wait, the Indiana Jones has an inversion and is not lined up? Okay, we're going to go to Disneyland Paris. So I'm going to...
Number 17.
Excuse me, I have to go book my flights.
Number 17, Disneyland Paris caters to a more adult food palate because you know why? They're in near Paris.
Yeah, I mean, that just makes sense.
Yeah, that's fine. Disneyland Paris's extended hours are a godsend. Basically, Disneyland Paris's extended hours for the 30th anniversary, which we're not sure which day that ends. I could look that up, I'm sure. But rides are open until 11. Previous to that, they were open until like 8 or 9. So basically, we're used to the extended hours in Disneyland. They have them in Paris. For now.
They're, so by the time we get there, that's not true. Okay.
Number 15. It is the happiest place on Earth and the most romantic place on Earth. 14. It is way more DIY than Walt Disney World.
What does that mean?
I'm telling you. Okay. Ready? Disneyland Paris has opted for selfie spots, which are areas in which guests... They kind of have something similar in Disneyland, but they snap their own photos in most iconic scenery. This can be cumbersome for larger families. However, for Disney adults, they basically are catering to, like, small, like, couples.
Instead of having photo pass, they have selfie spots, is what you're saying.
Right.
Okay.
Disneyland Paris caters to Disney adults by being more maneuverable for heavy planners. There are fewer mobile order options.
I'm raising my hand on the heavy planners item.
Their Lightning Lane-esque Premier Pass can rack up a pretty penny for large families, but are convenient for Disney adult couples.
Okay, I'm sold. Let's go.
I'm not done.
Let's go.
13 is Snow White's Scary Adventure. The ride exists in Disneyland and Tokyo Disney, but it doesn't exist in Disney World, so it's on this list as like something you should see. There are vintage rides for actual nostalgic Disney fans, including Pirates of the Caribbean that blends the best elements of the original version, with the present Disneyland version and the present Walt Disney World version.
Interesting.
Yep. There are more intense rides for kids, even. Basically, Disneyland Paris leans closer to PG than G.
Two thumbs up for PG.
Number 10, Pinocchio's Daring Journey. But basically, it's been, like, updated, so it's, like, it's on the scary list, basically.
Okay.
Then, if you're scary, it's better for Disney Adult.
Okay, so Disney Adults in Fantasyland is my favorite thing, because...
Literally my favorite.
Going to Fantasyland in the late evening, and there's not a ton of rides, because you don't have a ton of kids, because they've all gone to bed.
Mm-hmm.
It's super fun. So having those rides like cater a little bit more PG. PG is solid.
It just said leans PG more than G.
Yeah.
I like it.
I like it as well.
So this is one. Mickey and the Magician, often cited by Disney. This is a show. Often cited by Disney fans and theme park enthusiasts as the best show of all the Disney parks. Disney adults may not appreciate Mickey and the Magician quite as much as the children in the audience, but with songs from Cinderella, Beauty and the Beast, and The Lion King, as well as legitimately incredible real-time illusions, they will give every Disney adult a great appreciation of the spectacle and production value.
Illusions, Michael. Nice. I'm not going to finish that quote, but...
smoking, line cutting, and inconsiderations.
Oh.
One of the more common warnings to first-time visitors from the U.S. is the cultural differences between stateside parks and Disneyland Paris. However, how these differences affect you entirely lies on your personal preferences. Smoking is prevalent. Oof. Don't be surprised.
Yeah, okay.
More in Disney Village or nearby the many designated smoking areas. You are likely to experience line cutting in some fashion.
Don't care for nope. that.
These are all inconveniences. However, the threshold for this behavior may be better for childless Disney adults more than large groups and families of varying ages.
I guess, but I don't care for line cutting.
Nope. Disney Village. Basically, it's the same. It's similar. It's like their version of Downtown Disney or Disney Springs. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's definitely geared towards adults.
Right.
The posh and lauded steakhouse. There's a sports bar. Cinemas with the latest studio films, original French productions, and even controversial independent films.
Oh, the French.
Including a listing for David Cronenberg's Crime of the Future. Feet away from a bronze statue. The Mickey Mouse.
Well, so I don't know if most of our listeners have seen a David Cronenberg film.
But I know you have.
Okay. Yep. say less, as the children will say these days.
It says that was it was fairly bizarre, but the novelty of the situation was not lost on me either.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The proximity to Paris itself. The Twilight Zone Tower of Terror, A New Dimension of Fright is the name of this one.
It's a little different.
It was refurbished in 2019. It is far creepier than that of its stateside counterpart. While the story of the ride, in which each track follows the elevator's dealings with a terrified ghost girl, feels immersive and effectively times a spine tingling.
Down. So, Tower of Terror, the original, in Florida, might be my favorite Disney ride ever. So if this is like a little bit more spine tingling, I'm okay with that.
There's wonderful merchandise on display after the ride and includes plenty of Twilight Zone references and even features Mickey, Donald, and Goofy in peril on the attraction.
Yeah, I mean, they did that. They mm-hmm. did that in,
yeah.
In the States versions before, but yes.
Disneyland Paris embraces the obscure and the villainous. Wow, okay. They have a fond heart for the obscure and villainous characters not often highlighted at the U.S. parks, including characters from The Fox and the Hound, Hercules, Who Framed Roger Rabbit, and The Princess and the Frog.
Oh, geez. They don't have the horrible Christopher Lloyd character from Roger Rabbit, do they?
I don't know. Disneyland Paris's darker and high-class merch options. The one they gave as an example was the three hyenas from Lion King saying and the shirt says, "I'll take a cub sandwich."
Okay. Yup. Okay.
From 1664 beer to exclusive wines, Disneyland Paris is a drinker's paradise. This is number two.
You're speaking my language now.
And number one, Phantom Manor is the scariest ride in all of Disney.
I, like I said, I really want to ride that ride.
Yeah, okay. Thus be God, Disney's scariest ride ever. There's a, it is narrated by Vincent Price still.
Oh.
And it actually follows a storyline. Yeah, it's a whole thing of a classic ghost story. So perfect. Anyway, love I it. Thought that was super fun.
That is super fun.
Now I have a question for you, Brandon.
Yeah? Is it how much do flights to Paris cost? Cause
are you looking?
I'm definitely Googling that. You know what?
What?
It's only $1,700 nonstop, or $1,200 if you stop in what the heck is YUL? Oh, Montreal. If you stop in Montreal, it's only $1,200.
Oh, good to know. Good to know. Okay, Brandon, are you ready for a quiz? It's been a long time.
It has.
Okay. But I have two possible quizzes here, and I'm really nervous about it. So I'm going to get you to help because it involves some French pronunciation.
Oh, geez.
So I want to know, can you identify the Disney song by its French name?
No.
Okay. So I'm going to show you, and then I'm going to butcher the language as I try and say it, okay? Part de ton monde. So I don't even know the answers, but I know I have a guess what this is.
Part of your world, obviously.
That makes sense. And let's find out if you're right. So this is one that you actually have to type in. You are correct. It is part of your world. Je vois de lumière. Are the options Be Our Guest, I See the Light, Beauty and the Beast, or When You Wish Upon a Star?
Well, Lumière, of course, is the candelabra guy. Je is I, so it must be I See the Light.
You are correct. That's what I would have guessed, too. Yay, us. Oh, boy. Je crois j'irai. Is it Beauty and the Beast, When Will My Life Begin, Just Around the River Bend, or How Far I'll Go? None of these are two words.
Well, here's the thing about French. They like mashing words together almost as much as the Germans do.
Oh, no.
It's either When Will My Life Begin or How Far I'll Go. So we'll go How Far I'll Go.
I thought it was Beauty and the Beast. Oh, it's How Far I'll Go. Un monde entièrement nouveau. I know what this is.
A whole new world.
Yeah. Because the last one, I know nouveau.
Yes, nouveau. Well, so here's the thing. You'll see... we have a lot of French in our, like, cereal boxes. That's how a lot of children have learned. Is it new flavor, nouveau.
Nouveau.
Yeah, okay.
Je ferai de toi un homme. I know what this is.
I'll make a man out of you. Yep.
It's gotta be. I know man. It's hombre in Spanish. Mm. I know Spanish better than I know French. That is correct. I don't even know how to say this.
Toot. Essay.
Okay, is that Circle of Life, Let It Go, Try Everything, or A Friend Like Me? I know what my guess is.
It's Try Everything.
That's my guess, too. Are you going to get 100%, Brandon?
I do know, like, Laissez Aller.
Is it Beauty and the Beast, Speechless, You're Welcome, or Let It Go?
It's Let It Go.
Oh, my goodness, without hesitation. L'amour est un... Oh, no, you just do it.
Love is an open door.
Say it in French.
L'amour est une porte ouverte.
Oh, my God.
Ouverte.
You didn't know you were doing a French quiz today.
No, I didn't. No. Oh, this one's Soyez prêts.
Is that Show Yourself, Fix Your Upper, Call
the Wind, Be Prepared. Be Prepared.
Ready?
Be Prepared.
Correct.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my God. This is the last one. Colors de vent.
Oh, this is tough. No, Colors of the Wind.
That's what I thought. That's Colorado.
Colorado of the Wind, no.
And I'll even spell it the, like, American way so they don't say it's wrong. 10 out of 10.
Go grade 9 French. I am je suis Brandon.
So basically, this was the other quiz, was which French Disney character are you based off the cherry desserts you choose?
I like the knowledge one that we just did just now. Yeah,
but the problem with this one was all pictures. So I like, that's why.
Yeah,
I
no, was that's, like, no, that's, ter- that. That's terrible radio. I nailed that.
You did. That is amazing. Good job, by the way.
Congrats to my bad elementary school French.
Good job. Yeah. Anything else to add other than booking trips to Paris?
You've literally sold me on going to Disneyland Paris
right now.
Because
you were like, oh, we should go there some point. But now you're like, oh my God, I want to go so bad.
You've done it.
Congrats. Hey, good job. I should get commission from Disney.
You should.
Yeah, that's how that works.
We should get a free trip, probably.
We should. Probably Disneyland Paris. Yeah. Well, anyway, contact us on our social media through our website. That is our show. Thank you, El Mule, who has been to Disneyland Paris, and we're not jealous. It's fine.
It's fine. This is
totally fine.
Fine.
Yeah, it's fine. But he is responsible for the custom theme song you heard at the top of the show. You can find a link to his work, as well as all of our social media links and our email links at disneyaid.wixsite.com/podcast. And one of the links on there, if you click on episodes, we have like beginning listener or like recommended episodes. The Mickey Rain Boots and Two Big Thunder Mountains, episode 46, is
recommended.
Yeah, exactly. So that is an easy way to find that episode. We are on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, and on all of the favorite podcast streaming platforms, as well as our YouTube channel, Adventures A. If you've rated or reviewed our podcast, thank you. And if you haven't, you probably should. It helps others find us and is awesome. So if you are awesome, that is what you should do. If you know someone who might like listening to us, be sure to recommend Disney A as well. So next episode, we haven't really confirmed. I kind of want to do a Disneyland's episode because we're almost done Disneyland proper. And then we can move over to Disney.
I thought we were done.
We are almost done. It's like insanely close.
I thought we were done.
What
are we talking? Like, what Landlands do you want to talk about?
I don't know. I'll have to look through the list.
I think we're done. I think that's a terrible plan.
And then we're going to move over to DCA.
Can we just talk about DCA? There's not, like, lands in DCA.
Yes, there are.
Not really.
We can also talk about some of the changes of DCA.
That would be a great episode.
Okay, that's what we'll talk about then. Well organized here, people.
I'm just a composer, and sometimes you got to freestyle it a little bit.
So I'm Krista.
I'm Brandon.
And until the next adventure, TTFN, ta-ta for now. Thanks for listening to Disney A.
What? Okay.